Fallout Equestria, Heroes, by No One. Chapter 25, Shadows. You're no savior. Your talents lie elsewhere. The radiation dial on my pit buck slowly ticked upwards. Perhaps I should have seen this coming, this outcome. Well, I'm not sure how I could have seen the laughing stallion exploding coming, but I should have expected I would have failed in some spectacular way. It wasn't even that I failed, it was that I failed without ever getting close. I never had a chance to save the chair pony, or the batmare, or pinprick. Even if I'd tried harder, done better, I couldn't convince myself that I would have been able to save them. That was what hurt the most. Not only that I let good ponies die, but that even if I tried my hardest, I would have been helpless to stop it. When I was just a foal, I was helpless to save my mother and brother. I had made myself a promise that I would never be helpless again. So, I made myself stronger. I trained when I was alone and became a mountain of a mare. Since I was a foal, I was always big, but I made the choice to be strong. It didn't help. Even for all my strength, I couldn't save Wildfire from being shot. And I couldn't save Foundation from... In the end, I was just as helpless as the day my mother was shot. Despite everything I did, everything I pulled myself through, I was eternally too late to be of any good. Was it so much to ask that I could stop being helpless and actually save something before it gets destroyed? From Marefort to Timber to Bridal Hope, I could only ever help after the worst had happened. Or, like Karkuff, make the worst happen.
Hey, Silva.
I opened my eye and looked through the tears at Flair.
We need to go.
He was flying beside me where I hung from the remains of the catwalk.
Something went wrong. I ain't gonna shit you about that, but you need to stow the tears until we're all safe.
I sniffled and tried my best to stop the flow.
Good. I'll ask about what happened later.
The blue Pegasus reached out a hoof to me. Part of me didn't really want him to fly me back to the ground. I could have let go right there, fallen like Pinprick did. It would have been easier that way, but... when did I ever do something the easy way? My eyes turned back to the catwalk as I thought. That's when I saw her. Standing on the top of the catwalk was the ghostly form of Wildfire. She was smiling sadly down at me and seemed to nod before she vanished from sight. That was all I needed. I quickly let go of the railing and grabbed onto Flair. My whole body lurched downwards, taking the Pegasus with me. For a second, I thought maybe I was going to fall anyway. We only dropped for a few feet before the furious flapping of Flair halted our fall. An odd chill moved slowly down my spine, and I wasn't sure if I should have been terrified, sad, or annoyed. It seemed to settle for a mix of all three, as Flair slowly settled me back onto the safe ground. If the world wasn't in the middle of going to shit, I would have kissed it.
Mama!
Serenity ran out of nowhere and hugged my currently not working metal leg.
I was so worried, I thought she was going to fall.
As I carefully wrapped my leg around Serenity, I looked around the train station. There was so much glass on the floor that it could have been mistaken for a carpet. The guardrail that surrounded the pit was shot all to hell, as were parts of the walls. And the corpses. At least a dozen Minotaur corpses littered the ground on the side I was on, and on the other side I could make out just as many pony corpses. As I looked around the wreckage, I saw her. Pinprick. But she wasn't alone. There was a tiny figure hunched over the body, rocking back and forth.
Come on, I said, and got back to all fours and helped Serenity onto my back. We need to do something.
I limped over to the small figure as Serenity poked at my deactivated leg. Spitshine was hunched over her mother's bloody corpse and sobbing. As I got closer, I could hear muffled words.
Please. Please get up. You can't. You're not allowed to. Wake up. I'll be gonna swear. Mama. Mama, I need you, please.
The filly's voice choked up.
Mama.
Flair. The blue Pegasus, who was flying beside me, raised an eyebrow. I need you to take Spitshine to Hayes, please. He nodded confidently. Spitshine, I said as I walked closer to her, but kept myself at a respectable distance. Spitshine, we need to go.
Why didn't you save her?
Spitshine didn't even look at me.
Why didn't you? See how I said he saved her, but now you should have. Why didn't you?
She broke down, sobbing again.
Go away. Just go. I hate you. All of you.
It's not safe here, I said in my softest voice. You need to go. Your mama would want you to be safe. The truth was that no place was safe anymore, not after what had just happened. Dais was a powder keg, and some pony just lit the fuse. Still, if any place was safe in Dais, it was an invisible orphanage under the city, so I had to try and help Spitshine. It was the least I could do. The very least.
I'm not leaving her. I'm not leaving Mama.
We'll come back for her, I promise. But you need to be safe first. She loved you more than anything. She wants you to be safe. Slowly, Spitshine looked over to me with her bloodshot red eyes. Please.
I don't want to. But Mama was saying I gotta be safe.
She rubbed her eyes.
You better not lie. You gotta come back for her or else.
Yes, I promise. We all do. Flair and Serenity both nodded their agreement. Flair, I need you to do something. Take Spitshine to Hayes, then come back for Pinprick. We'll be back in the city as soon as possible.
Yeah, okay.
He landed on the ground and lowered his body. Get on, Spit. I'll take you to safety. The little filly nodded and slowly climbed onto Flair's back, her eyes still wet with tears. She took a glancing look back at her mother and started sobbing again. Tearing her gaze away from her dead mother, Spitshine latched onto Flair's mane for something to cry into. Flair looked down at me.
Don't think we can blame this one on Curly Fries, can we?
I gave an exasperated sigh and shook my head. Don't think so. Don't stay above ground too long. Celestia knows how much radiation we're in for. He flapped his wings a few times and took to the air. I watched him fly until he was safely out of the train station, and I could turn my attention to other pressing matters. Not that my job for Mayhem really mattered at all. Something insane just happened. The chair pony of the NCA was dead, along with the Batmare, Pinprick, and probably Lucky, and countless others. The city was being blanketed by radiation, and on top of it, the NCA and the Minotaurs were at war. Basically, everything sucked, and I was still going to do a job for some fuckhead because I made a promise. And why not? I'd probably fail that and die. Won't that be fun?
Mama?
Serenity tugged at my mane.
Are you?
Fine. I lowered my gaze to the broken body of Pinprick. I turned away from her, from my failure. My leg and I got deactivated. Can you start them up? My filly said nothing and got to work. There was a stinging feeling as she powered up my leg and I, and it was as painful as ever. I just didn't care. It felt pointless. Everything did. Even if there was a chance to make a difference, to save some pony, to be a hero, it would have been here. It would have been stopping this whole mess. But I failed. With my failure, ponies better than I died. So, why try? Nothing I did mattered. I had my chance and let it burn. Perhaps it was for the best. Heroes always seem to die, or stop being heroes.
Where are we going anyway? What's this secret mission thingy? Why didn't you tell us sooner?
Serenity said quietly from my back. Make sure the Minotaur King gets out alive. Did you see which way he went? In all the chaos, I wasn't able to follow his movements. Not that I had really tried. Perhaps I should have. That, at least, I could have done.
When the shooting started, Flair dragged me behind a wall for protectioning, but I could have sworn I saw some of the Minotaurs head down the stairs in the center there. Mama, why are we helping them? Ain't they sort of like the enemy?
No. I said, They're not. I headed across the glass-strewn floor and ignored the pain as my hooves got cut and scratched. We work for a house, not the NCA, and this whole thing was a setup. And, trust me.
All right. When has that ever gone wrong?
Great. Sarcasm. That was exactly what I needed. Why couldn't ponies just take me at my word? Oh, right. Because I was always wrong, and all my plans backfired on me in a spectacular manner. How could I forget? Still, I had a job to do, and despite the pointlessness of trying, I had to finish it, if for nothing else than the sense of normality to it. My name was Hired Gun, after all, and even if the world was going to shit, it was my job to do petty assignments for piddling amounts of caps. Thankfully, once we got down the large staircase in the middle of the room, most of the glass cleared up, except for the pieces sticking out of my hooves, of course. They didn't go anywhere. Thanks, Celestia, I was still high on Med-X, or else it would have really hurt. So, I was probably going to regret it later, but I regretted everything, so it was nothing new. As we neared the first small platform, which seemed to allow access to an area below the train station, we heard shouting further down. I could barely make out the sounds, but I did feel a burning sensation in my shoulder, and a few seconds later, Serenity said,
"Pony's downstairs yelling and telling someone to stop and drop their weapons. I think I'm the next level down."
Had I more time, I would have questioned how she did that, or at least asked when she had modified her sound spell to amplify, not block out sound. But it was apparently urgent. I would have jumped down the stairs, but the idea of falling any length at all right then made my stomach twist, so I made do with a running trot until I reached the second basement level. "Where to?" That was a stupid question. Straight ahead was more stairs, and to my left was rubble blocking an entrance to whatever was supposed to be on this level, so I turned right. I barreled through a door ahead that read offices into a series of tight hallways and small rooms. It was so cramped I could barely move at all. It clearly wasn't designed for running, nor any pony tall. Normally, I would take time to explain how bland and drab the color scheme was, but I had voices to follow, and by then I could hear them without Serenity's help.
"You will tell me your name,"
a commanding voice shouted, but there was no reply. It was enough to give me a sense of direction, just down the hall, and shit. Next thing I knew, I was sprawled on the ground and my face stung. I let out a pitiful groan and picked myself up with my forehooves and looked to see what tripped me. To my eternal annoyance, it was nothing more than some sort of cord running down the hallway. Who the hell would put that there? It was a hazard. I mean, sure, no pony would expect someone to be running down this hallway, but yeah, it was my fault.
"Mama, stop lying around."
Serenity, who must have fallen off my back, nudged at my flank with her head.
"Get up. Come on. You're the one that wanted to save what's his name."
"Thanks for the support." "Yeah," I said and picked up my hind legs and started off again, this time in a much slower trot, because I would rather not fall again. Strangely enough, the wire was going in the same direction I was. I studied it as I trotted down the hallway, and for some reason it looked, well, not new. Hardly anything was truly new in the wasteland, but newer. Of course, the realization of what it was didn't hit me until the wire turned into the room the voices were coming from. I didn't turn into the room right away, though. Instead, I did the almost smart thing and slid up against the wall and peeked into the room to see what was going on. There were four NCA ponies, thankfully none of them were ones I knew, holding three minotaurs at gunpoint. The one I identified as the Minotaur King was standing with his hands up, while his guards were both on their knees. Minotaurs have knees, right? With their hands on their heads. This was not counting the several dead ponies and minotaurs littering the room. Wait. My eye was giving one of them a box, so it must have been living. A brown minotaur lying beside a large camera. Holy shit. My eyes scanned the room again, and sure enough, the broken body of the NCA chair pony was there too.
"All right, you beasts," the NCA soldier said. "You're coming with us."
I motioned for Serenity to stay out of sight before I jumped into the doorway and pointed subtly. "Sorry, you can't do that." Only the commander of the soldiers and one other pony turned to look at me while the others kept their weapons trained. "I need the king." My brain worked quickly. By orders of mayhem. I had to take the job. I had to complete it. but Mayhem had only told me not to tell Serenity, Flair, or Mr. House about it. He said nothing about the NCA.
Are you fucking kidding?
The commander attempted to size me up, but much to his dismay, I was still bigger than him.
You're a big motherfucker, but even with that, you can't hope to take the four of us.
Oh, I had no doubt I could completely destroy them. I smashed through ranks of Steel Rangers, so this would be fool's play. Only I made a promise to myself not to kill them. Maybe not, I lied, but I can kill him. Subtlety was actually pointed at Ginger across the room. Do you have any idea what a 50 cal does to a pony? Or a minotaur? He'll be paced. Of course, my gun was actually still disconnected from my battle saddle thanks to that fucker Dragon Slayer, but they didn't need to know that. If it worked on a god, it would work on them. The stallion gulped sharply before glaring.
So fucking what? We'll have the king, and you'll be dead.
You don't want the king, I smirked. Not as much, anyway. Ginger killed your leader. Every pony knows it. You could be the one to bring him in, to justice, and he's more important. He was involved. Do you really think the king would come here himself if he was planning on blowing it up? He didn't know. Only he did. My gun motioned forward at Ginger. He's who you want. He could give you what you need. There was a few seconds of chilly silence before I saw his expression soften.
And what am I supposed to tell the Major General? That I let the king out of my grasp? That I let him go?
The truth. I lowered my mouth to the dysfunctional firing bit. Tell her you had a choice between the king and Ginger. You chose the option. That made sense. You can see it, can't you? He raised an eyebrow at me, but also visibly seemed to back off. Something is wrong. This whole thing. Pieces don't fit together. Things don't make sense. There will be war after all this, but with him? With him, you could end it sooner. Or prolong it, if that's what you find. But the truth here? It's not with the king. The commander seemed to think this over before turning and whispering something to the pony beside him.
We keep the guards.
My eyes dotted over to the obviously confused Minotaur King. One. You get one. The king nodded slowly in approval. The officer hummed to himself before staring at the ground and growling.
Fine. Release the king. And one guard. Now.
Sir?
One of the subordinates said in a wavering voice. Are you sure this is...
Don't question me, whelp, and release the fucking prisoners! The soldier stood quickly to attention and moved away so the king and one of his guards could get up. For his part, the king seemed apprehensive about the situation, but took a few slow steps forward. When he saw he wasn't being shot, he and one of his guards ran past the NCA ponies and past me into the hallway. Just to be safe, I kept my gun trained on Ginger for a little more than a minute.
Well?
The officer said in a tone that seemed to suggest he was annoyed with me.
Go. We're not going to follow.
What's your name?
Huh? What? What does it matter?
The guard narrowed his eyes at me.
Major Nightfall.
Major Nightfall, I said the name slowly as I looked over to where Serenity was waiting. I gave her a short nod and she quickly climbed onto my back. It's been a pleasure. The Mustang send the regards. Before he could get in another word, I turned and galloped back down the hall, though this time I was careful to avoid the wire. While I was not the fastest of ponies, it turned out I was at least faster than bipeds, because by the time I reached the landing, I had caught up to the Minotaur King and his guard. No wonder they were caught.
Get going! I yelled at them. You need to get out before more come!
I cannot!
The king's voice was surprisingly youthful. Out of all the Minotaurs I have heard, that is two, he was by far the youngest sounding.
I must capture and prosecute the traitor. It is our way.
Well, getting you out alive is my way, so go!
As I shouted, I heard voices to my left. Sure enough, at the top of the stairs, a whole squad of NCA ponies were lined up and heading down.
Shit, move!
I pointed my gun.
Move or I'll shoot your legs and carry you. I'm saving you whether you like it or not, so go!
He
turned to his guard, who silently nodded.
Fine. This way, then. Quickly.
He started running down the stairs.
This is a great idea, Serenity said from my back as I followed them down the stairs.
Follow the monsters and people to protect them.
As soon as we got to the bottom floor, which was, as I suspected, a train station, the Minotaur King jumped off the platform and started hitching down one of the dark tunnels.
Oh, and following him into dark tunnels too.
Serenity, please stop.
I jumped off the platform and followed quickly behind them. How they were able to see, I wasn't sure, but my eye quickly adjusted to the light.
Trust me, it'll be fine.
Well, that was probably a lie. The region was at war now, no matter how you cut it, but the plan at least would be fine. Hopefully. Doubtfully. Nothing ever went right for me. The Minotaurs seemed to know where they were going, if for no other reason than the fact that they just happened to find a torch lying there in the train tunnel. It was a little bit suspicious, but really to be expected given that is where the Minotaurs seemed to be headed when the fight broke out. The tunnel itself was not the Dais tunnels I was used to, but instead a large cavernous thing like the tram tunnels under the reconstruction facility. Only these were wider. It was a bit surprising to see them here at all, because I had no idea there were train tunnels near Dais at all. Though, if I was correct, the tunnel we were following led away from Dais, not towards it. At least that's what my pitbug map seemed to suggest. Given the size and scope of the train tunnel, it wouldn't have surprised me if they were connected with Walkirk's tunnels. It seemed the logical thing to do if people were riding the train when the end happened. Which they were. This I figured out when we passed a long, half-crushed train car filled with centuries-old skeletons that had managed to crash despite being on rails. It was a bit unnerving the way the skeletons were piled on top of each other near the door. I had to wonder if they were moved that way by some scavenger, or if that was how they died, scrambling for an exit.
"Where are we going?" I had to ask, because we never seemed to stop walking. "Is there an entrance to the Dais tunnels? Show me to it, then I'll go. You're safe now."
"No, not safe here. Here is where they come to feed. Little ponies should not be here alone,"
the king said, but did not stop his fast pace. I immediately straightened up. There was no need to even tell me what they were, because if it was something I had to fight, then history dictated it would be some ungodly whore or an arrogant jackoff. Given the feeding comment, the first was far more likely.
"Mama is not little at all," Serenity said indignantly. "I am, but she's probably bigger than you, except you cheat because you're on two legs."
"Perhaps this little pony is less little."
He turned his head back to look at me. I don't think I liked the way his brow furrowed when he stared, as if he was trying to memorize what I looked like, or perhaps trying to figure out if he knew me, or something. I'm not really the best at deciphering looks.
"But little is still little. Still, you saved my life, and for that you have my gratitude."
I'd rather he kept it. It was not like I saved his life out of the goodness of my heart, and while I didn't really care about the Minotaur versus NCA squabble, I would rather not be associated with such an ostracized group.
"To whom do I owe my thanks?"
"Hired gun." I looked away from the strange creature. "That's who I am, but you should thank mayhem. Circumstances forced me to take this job." So as long as he didn't go around praising me for saving him, I would be okay.
"So you're a slave?"
He remarked so casually I almost didn't realize what exactly he said.
"What?"
My eyes narrowed into my usual glare.
"I am not a slave."
"Aren't you?"
He didn't even seem to notice my annoyance.
"My guard here."
He waved a hand, I guess, at the green Minotaur walking beside him.
"Immovable Object, his name. His father was one of many who struck Hooftown many years ago, back during the First War. His father was unnerved at the violence, and he fled the field of battle. Because of this, his family now must pay his debt. His son must fight in his stead. Does this make him a slave?"
What?
I guess that made him a slave, sort of. It wasn't the usual definition, and the practice was a bit barbaric.
Maybe.
"In the same sense, you do not wish to do this job, yet you are doing it."
"It was my choice."
For some reason, I felt defensive.
"But you said yourself you do not wish to."
Now he was just pissing me off.
If it was your choice, but you do not wish it, then what convinced you?
It's my code. Always complete a job, to the letter. I don't really think I liked what he was getting at. It didn't seem like he was trying to agitate me on purpose, but he was still doing a great job of it.
Then you are a slave to your code. So it is your code, I must thank.
He scratched his chin with a claw.
I am not sure how one goes about that, so I guess I will thank you for making the code that made you a slave. Thank you, Mr. Hired Gun.
Miss, I corrected venomously. I'm a mayor.
Oh, my apologies. With ponies, it can be hard to tell.
With me, it was no doubt harder. Not counting my rather butch features, I was also decked out in grimy armor that completely concealed any guess at knowing my gender. The closest giveaway would be my voice, but I couldn't really expect a non-equine to pick up on that.
How do you tell I'm Minotaurs?
Serenity seemed legitimately curious.
Horns. It is the simplest ways. Bulls have them. Cows do not.
He drew a hand up to his own pair of horns as if to explain what that meant. Or prove that he was a bull? I'm not entirely sure. Serenity went to give a reply, but was cut off when the Minotaur raised his hand from his side.
Shh! There are things near. They come. Be on your guard.
That'd be really easy, especially because I didn't actually have a gun that worked on me. Well, subtlety worked, but it was disconnected from my battle saddle, making it effectively, wait. It still had a trigger, right?
Serenity!
She jumped up in my head so she could look down at my face.
What, Mama? You can tell me to hide and be safe?
Sort of the opposite of that. I took a quick look around the tunnel. The cavernous semicircular hall was not as sturdy as I would have liked. Along the walls, a series of doors could be seen. Service tunnels or entrances to Dais Underground, maybe. And on the floor, there were multiple grates, probably for floods or the like. Whatever they were, I suspected they would come from one of those places. Something fell on me. For a brief second, there was a strange pinching pressure on my head.
Get it off! Get it off!
Okay, I might have panicked, just a little bit. There was a gunshot so loud it nearly deafened me. I wasn't sure who shot, but the thing, Rad Scorpion I'd find out, fell off my head a second later.
Mama, are you okay?
She gulped as I felt something drop onto my flank.
Run!
I didn't need to be told twice. Not that I ran far, though, just enough to get to the two Minotaurs and turn sharply to see what the hell was going on. It was not good. Almost instantly, my EFS started showing hostile after hostile, until it was just a thick red line. From the ceiling, Rad Scorpions came pouring out one after another in a colossal torrent of stinging death. Then they started moving towards us.
Serenity!
The closest one broke out into a running scuttle.
Serenity! Pistol! Now!
She tossed the weapon into the air, and I caught the still-smoking pistol in my mouth with just enough time to adjust my aim and blast the thing to pieces. The spray of blood and ichor did absolutely nothing for the hundreds more pouring out from the ceiling and filling the tunnel. There was a sickening sensation in my gut as they swarmed closer. Maybe, for whatever reason, I was strong enough to withstand their poison, but not even I could survive that many.
Duh!
I fired a bullet into the horde, but it moved forward without even noticing.
Please, just die.
Bullet after bullet flew from the zebra-enhanced pistol until my mouth was sore from the impact, but still it came.
Shit, shit, shit.
Little pony.
There was a mind-breakingly painful tearing sensation on my backside when something tugged hard on my tail.
Run!
Right. Fear overcame pain, and I turned tail and ran. I was not a fast pony, but at that moment I felt as fast as Flair. My hooves pounded into the concrete so hard that it sent shockwaves up my back, though that was mostly the fault of my injured backside. As I ran, I couldn't help but notice the Minotaurs were starting to lag behind. They just weren't built for speed. Part of me whispered to survive, to let them die and be eaten by the teeming mass to give me time to escape. The more sensible part reminded me that I was apparently running towards a Minotaur base, and they'd probably shoot me on sight if the king wasn't with me. So, I took a look back. They were so far back that the Scorpions were nipping at their heels.
With poison stingers, that didn't bode well at all. I skidded to a stop and did a 180 towards the stupid slow bipedal idiots.
Serenity, head, I shouted.
But Mama, you're running the road.
Just do it.
I'd have to apologize for my tone later, but all that mattered was getting us to safety. It was stupid, I know, but as I ran to the King's aid, I couldn't help but think that maybe this time I'd actually save someone. Maybe this time. I got to them just as the swarm was about to overtake them. One of the foul black creatures had managed to wrap its legs around one of the fleeing kings with its stinger poised to strike. My hoof was just in time. The metal prosthetic, Serenity said that means fake leg, or something, slammed into the wide beast with enough force to send it flying back into the swarm. For a brief second, I thought I saw the king look at me with surprise in his dark eyes, but I didn't have time.
Move! I shouted as my metal leg slammed into the tail of a larger beast, severing it completely. Faster! I'll push them back!
Not for long, but I'd tried, damn it. The king seemed to be in wordless agreement as he scrambled down the hall at an increased speed. Not fast enough. Without warning, there was a burst of fire beside me. My heart jumped and I scrambled backwards from the two close flames. The flames weren't alone, though, being wielded by the torch-carrying immovable object, the king's guard. And it worked, sort of. The swarm didn't stop so much as pause, balk at the swinging flames, but the torch was small and the swarm larger than was reasonable.
Go,
he grunted as he swung the flames.
Protect the king.
But he shouldn't have to. He was a slave, right? Or so the king said. How could I let someone like him take my place? Sure, he was just a minotaur, but it felt wrong. It felt...
Go!
He kicked his goat-like leg at me. It missed, but I got the message and flew the opposite way down the tunnel once more. I looked back as I ran, though. How could I not? I saw the black mass surround him slowly. As they did, he waved the torch around wildly, trying his best to scare them off. It wasn't going to happen, though. I think he'd known all along. But he kept trying. Even as they started to swarm over his body, he swung and flailed. And when he fell, and the creatures amassed around his fallen body, there was a burst of flames from the center as something in the mass took fire. But it was snuffed out a second later, and they started at us once again. Worse, they seemed to move faster now they had gotten a taste. By then, I had all but caught up with the king, and the sight wasn't pretty. Without the torch to guide him, and lacking cybernetics to assist, he was running blind. His legs were bleeding, and something stuck out of his arm.
Serenity, keep low!
As soon as I felt her press her little body flat against my skull, I terrified a very time. By bending down low, I caught the king under the knees, making him twist and fall. It took a great deal of skill and much more luck, but I managed to get him to slam stomach first onto my back. He was as heavy as anything I had ever lifted, but my body was filled with so much adrenaline, so much will to escape, that I hardly noticed. Well, this time maybe think that helped. Sure enough, the longer I ran, the heavier he felt, and the slower we moved.
This is no way to treat a king,
he protested, giving me something to think about other than our impending death.
It is a way to save a king. Keeps
the one-handed op. As dramatic as that was, I was starting to get the feeling that I was far from accurate. The mass didn't seem like it was slowing down anytime soon, and I had no idea how much farther I had to run. Worse was the fact that we had almost been caught up to.
Fuck,
fry, to whispered to me. Luck was on my side, for once, because as I rounded a sharp bend, I saw a faint light at the end of the tunnel. It had to be our destination, the way to safety. Or it was some sort of light monster leading me into its mouth, but that'd be a cleaner death than that of a thousand thingies.
There!
The king shouted from his lofty position on my back.
Faster!
I tried, really, but with such a weight on my back and the pain of my previous adventures, like stepping through glass, coming back, I just couldn't forget the sting I caught into the air, which was precisely when I felt a sharp stinging sensation right above my hoof. Without even looking back, I somehow found the will to push myself harder, distancing me somewhat from the swarm. It wouldn't last, though. All I could do was pray to Celestia above to grant me some sort of mercy and let the king to see sharply turn.
Who goes there?
A voice from the light shouted as we came closer.
I am the Prime Minister!
Red his stick fight. The king bellowed from my starting. I was. The Minotaurs came into view from the blinding light a second later. There was some sort of installment of lights and mounted guns, but I didn't care. I slammed through the barricades and into the nearest Minotaur in my haste. The four of us tumbled head over hooves as I felt a blast of heat from behind me, followed by the sound of 1,000 screeching rat scorpions. I turned my head from my awkward fallen position to see a wall of orange flame and black burning limbs covering the tunnel. It was the first time in a long time that the sight of fire didn't make me freak out. I did it. I saved someone. I actually managed to save someone. I wanted to laugh, but everything hurts didn't mask. Wait. My mind rewound to a few seconds earlier, and I looked over at the Minotaur King, who was lying on his back. You're the prime man body with. To explain my confusion over the Prime Minister's correct titles, you have to understand that my job was to save the Minotaur King, not the Prime Minister. Right after hearing that, I had worried that I had been through all that just to save a Minotaur I wasn't contracted to save. It would have been beyond frustrating. Thankfully, that was not the case. Why, he swung out of his form over to, so you are the king. After a few long, confusing minutes at the front gate of the, town, I guess, we were instructed by the king to walk with him, with a few guards, of course. I was still on the edge of deciding if the underground settlement was a town or Millard's guard. The king checked. On one hoof, it seemed to be filled with Minotaurs performing drills, but on the other, I saw more than a few calves running around.
Yes and no, he answered as he walked beside me. By all accounts, the line of kings died out during the war, but when addressing pony folk, we still style ourselves as such. We have found that ponies are more receptive to royal monikers than political ones. Even independent Caledonia worshipped the princesses before the war, after all.
It was strange walking in that town. I decided that right away. As we passed the rows of tents that lined the tunnel walls, I could see and feel creatures inside staring at me. It was as if they had never seen a pony before, or at least never saw one there. I wondered if that was how Ginger felt in Dais. It was, odd to begin to this back flying send.
What does that mean, Prime Mini-Star, that is?
Serendi leaned onto my head to ask the question.
It means instead of ruling by divine authority like the princesses, I rule by election.
He chuckled.
You ponies have elections in some of your cities, right?
Yeah,
Serendi said in a slightly higher pitched voice. I knew that tone well enough. It meant she knew something she thought was cool and wanted to tell someone about it.
Aglo has a mayor. Is that sort of the same? I remember the election a little. He was cool. There was a parade and a gunfight.
That sounded like my kind of parade.
Perhaps they are similar. Would you like to hear the process?
Dear Celestia, no. Please, no politics. I looked around frantically for some sort of escape. But all I managed to do was come face to face with a goat, which proceeded to bleat in my face.
Don't mind them. The Prime Minister glared down at the goat. Don't you have somewhere to be?
The goat bleated again before trotting off.
Sorry about that. Some of them don't know their place.
I've never seen a goat before.
Serendi stared over at the strange, skinny-legged creature.
You probably won't again.
The king seemed agitated now.
They're workers.
Like a movable object? I asked pointedly.
Yes, they are indentured servants to the Minotaur race for.
He rubbed his forehead with one of his massive clawed hands.
It matters not, little pony. I am sure you are not interested in the ancient treaties and the like. Simply accept it and move on.
Yeah, I wasn't interested in anything of the sort, but it was better than the huge speech on how the Minotaur's political structure worked because I really didn't agree. I guess not, I said. He led us to adorn the wall of the tunnel that we had to squeeze past tents to get to. They really could use work on their space management.
Now we have a problem.
The Prime Minister, does he even have a real name? Said, tapping on the door with his claw.
We do not take prisoners of war, you see.
This didn't sound good at all.
But at the same time, you did me a great service, twice over. And yet knowledge of this base is secret,
If word got back to your pony government how close we are to them, well, we could have a problem. So far, we've gotten away with it because the rad scorpions make the tunnel too dangerous to travel normally, so they haven't checked. But if you told them...
I won't, I gulped nervously. You have my word. Which was about as good a word as you could get from anyone. I did save him twice, after all, yet I still doubted he would be swayed that easily.
Yes, yes, of course. But I still risk this encampment on the word of a pony.
Racist.
I will need to think on it. For now, you will be our, let's say, honored guest. There was a general who used this room as his quarters, but he was a casualty of that mess, so it's yours. If you want to wander the camp, feel free, but you need a guard with you at all times.
So I'm a prisoner here?
Oh, of course not.
He chuckled.
You can leave any time, just not alive. Let's just say you are a prisoner here as much as you are a slave to your code.
Briefly, I wondered what the punishment for murdering a prime minister was. Maybe it'd prove my strength and they'd make me prime minister instead. Thanks. I opened the door slowly, I guess.
I'll make my decision within 24 hours. Fair warning, if I take longer than that, you're better off trying to make a run for it.
He gave me a short bow.
Thank you, once again, for risking your life to save mine twice. I pray Discord's blessing upon you.
I was halfway through the door when I had to stop and turn around to give him a dazed look. Discord?
Who else? He motioned to his large body slowly. Do you think anyone but the Lord of Chaos would create beings such as us? Legend has it he grew bored with his first reign and crafted the first of us from a goat, a bull, and an ape.
He gave me a level look.
Why did you think we joined the Great War on the side of the zebras? You ponies imprisoned our god.
That made a certain amount of sense. Maybe that's what the final straw was in the train station. Ginger praising Discord. Oh, I said dumbly. I see. The PM gave me a look that resembled a glare before nodding and turning around. Dave's slave made him a... The other two minotaurs remained, though, and flanked my door. With a sigh, I walked into the room as instructed and took a look around. It was a small room, perhaps a large maintenance closet in a past life, with too many amenities that made it feel cramped. I guess if I walked on two legs, it'd be easier to navigate. Taking up one side of the room was a surprisingly large fold-up cot, while a large desk took up part of the opposite wall. Due to the narrowness of the room, however, the two things looked to be right next to each other, to the point that you could fall backwards from the desk chair directly onto the bed. Off the corner was a tall, skinny wardrobe. Most of all, though, the room was clean, so clean that the walls looked white. I guess the Minotaurs favored cleanliness, or the former general was a germaphobe. The door slammed shut so hard behind me that I nearly jumped. I didn't bother looking back, though. Instead, I took a few slow steps towards the desk. On it was a book that looked to be a diary, and for a second I really wanted to read it, to find out more information about the Minotaurs. After how long I had been in Dais, everything I had heard about Minotaurs had been myth, legend, or biased propaganda. Getting information was rare, after all. Yes, I didn't care. After carefully helping Serenity off my back, I flopped over onto the cot, on the side that subtlety wasn't on, and closed my eyes. Things had happened so fast, I had barely had time to let the gravity of the situation truly sink in. Now that I was away from danger and responsibility, I could truly think about what had happened. It wasn't pleasant. The memory of me hanging there helplessly as Pinprick was killed, trying to defend me no less. The thought of her daughter crying over her broken corpse. The sound of the Batmare's horn cracking. The feeling of pressure as the blast wave washed over my body and showered me with glass. All of these things came rushing back to me. It was like being there again, seeing the chaos and confusion, and once again being powerless to do anything to stop it. If there was anything I loathed, it was being helpless. My entire life I'd done my best to avoid that fate. I'd always been big, but I chose to be strong. But even then, that didn't say foundation. I'd tried to push ponies away,
thinking that if I wasn't close to them, I wouldn't be put into a position where I was powerless. It was a silly notion, and did nothing at all to save Wildfire. I tried to be a hard ass, but that just changed me from helpless to destructive. Even then, I was always too late. I was too late to save Foundation, too slow to make Wildfire duck. I managed to get to Timber only after it burned, and got caught up in my own drama that I couldn't help bridle hope. Maybe I was just too slow. I couldn't put the pieces together fast enough, so everything I did was delayed. If I was as smart as Serenity, maybe I could have stopped what happened at the train station, figured out something was fishy or something. With a groan, I rolled over, or tried to, in the cot. Part of me didn't care if the Minotaurs did kill me. At least it'd be actually saving someone. Go out on a high point. It would be easier that way. Just let it all fall into some pony else's hooves. Stop worrying about the conspiracies and the plots and everything that made Dais Dais. Then I thought about the blade sliding into Pinprick's neck. Somehow, I don't think I would ever forget that, and I was glad for it. It gave me something to hold on to. Maybe I could die, but I didn't want to die until I'd ripped off Dragon Slayer's head, and then slaughtered every single mysterious pony he was working for. That was something. Revenge. I tried being a hero, and that had failed. Maybe I'd do better if I was motivated by revenge. I guess, for that matter, I still had high stakes and smooth tongue. Maybe I put their heads on pikes when I was done. That was if I ever got out of this situation. Knowing my luck, that was far from likely. Still, I could dream, right? Of course, living meant I needed to go back to Dais. I wasn't sure I could take going back to the city that I failed so thoroughly. It would be washed in radiation by then, and somehow I suspected the bubbling gang war would finally spill over into the streets. It was close before, when I killed Roy, but after the explosion? Hooves would be pointed, ponies would be disparate, and the stronger the gangs would try to devour the weaker ones. Maybe lying in bed forever would be easier then. I'd be dragged into the inevitable gang war, and it's what I'm paid to do. No part of me wants to fight that war. I thought before that Mr. House had the right vision for the city, that he had the ambition and ability to unite it. Yet lately it seemed all he could do was further divide and conflict it. Maybe I made the wrong choice, but what were my choices? A large stallion with a grandiose self-image and a sense of importance? An easily angered and extremely violent mule, an old mare who by all accounts shouldn't have been in power as long as she was. Sure, those were just the main gangs, but what else could I join? I wasn't an NCA citizen. The finishers were too weak to make any sort of difference. As an Earth Pony, I couldn't join the Enclave or the Minotaurs. The Steel Rangers were right out, for obvious reasons. Sure, I could have joined the Watchers, but their leader, Clean Cut, gave me the creeps. And I'd be a shit doctor anyway. Mr. House was really my only choice, and I still felt like shit for making it. Maybe I would just sleep here forever. No responsibility, no need to get up. Just sleep. Maybe then I'd dream without nightmares, too. It sounded pleasant, really. Maybe, if I escaped here, I would go wander in the Dais tunnels until I found the orb we buried, and it'd let me sleep. I wouldn't have to worry about this. I wouldn't have to be haunted by memories. Maybe then I could be at peace.
Mama?
Something nudged my back lightly.
Mama, I'm hungry.
Of course, I still had at least one reason to stay away. If it worked. What a fine selection of red scorpion meat, I said. The yellow bull standing on the other side of the table merely grunted in response to me. It really was a good selection. Small rad scorpions, large ones, red ones, blue ones, rad scorpion on a stick, or sautéed in oil. I guess when your town lived underground, then you didn't have much in the way of variety. Or, more likely, they were hiding all the good food from the freaky pony. And I don't think I've been glared at more in my life than when I walked through the tent town. Even my so-called chaperone was glaring at me for all it was worth.
Are you buying?
The bull glared down at me. It was unsettling. I really hated it when ponies, people, were taller than me, which didn't happen very often, except in this Minotaur town. And they were all friggin' huge. Thankfully, I was still fairly sure I was stronger than all of them. Which is still not saying much, as I've still yet to meet any pony, or anyone, who has come close. Except for Tor. But I kicked his ass, so whatever. Serenity put her hooves on the table so she could get a look at the food. After a few sniffs, it looked like she was about to gag, but she eventually said,
"Still hungry? Can we get the ones on a stick?"
They must have smelled the least bad. Two of those, things. The Minotaur nodded and turned around. Behind him was an open tent with what looked like a barbecue inside with a goat standing in front of it. The Minotaur, to my surprise, bleated at the goat in what sounded like a harsh tone. I could be wrong, I don't speak goat. Before turning back to me and grunting,
"Is that your daughter?"
Before I even had a chance to reply,
"I am. She's my mama."
I could hear the pride in her voice.
"Only just recently."
The Minotaur raised an eyebrow, but did not question her on that.
"Isn't she awesome?"
"She is a small pony. Many scars. Bad fighter. Or too many fights."
"A little bit of both. My fighting style wasn't what you'd call, refined. Though I did routinely turn ponies into
the hell. Who the hell?" "Lots of fights. She's awesome at fighting. Just..."
She hummed over the wording before saying,
"Just lots of ponies want to kill her. Robots sometimes too. And animals. But not nearly as many of them. This one time, she fought these giant snakes, though. It was awesome and really scary."
Ah, yes. The infamous land sharks. How I hated thinking back to them. Thankfully, I rarely did, as they were overshadowed by my guilt-ridden mind about the events at Kharkuf.
"And survived."
The yellow Minotaur sized me up.
"Metal leg and eye, pony technology. She is lucky."
He walked back to the goat to yell at it about something, and it was then I realized that the bottom half of the bull's right leg was made of wood.
"Aw!"
Serenity noticed too.
"Oh, I can make you a new one, mister."
Considering her earlier reservations against Minotaurs, she seemed to be warming up very nicely. Perhaps being around them enough convinced her they weren't going to eat her, or something.
"No."
He turned back to us once he was done bleeding at the goat, though now he was carrying two plates of food. Or, rather, food.
"Pony technology is not allowed. We must recreate without help."
I'm sure rampaging through pony lands would help that, but I wasn't about to question their motives. To their face, at least.
"Hair food."
Serenity attempted to sway the bull's opinion by pouting at him as she nibbled at her scorpion shish kebab, but he seemed unswayed. I decided it would be best to change the topic before her pouting got any worse. "So, those goats?" I looked behind the yellow bull to where the goat was still standing. "Why do they work for you?"
"Pony would not know story."
The yellow Minotaur looked thoughtfully at me before deciding he did want to answer.
"During the war, goats lived with us, fought with us. They were almost equals. Then they betrayed us. Some took a megaspell to the heart of our capital. The price for cowardice and treason is paid for in their sons' and daughters' lives. But such a crime that even if all sons and daughters for 1,000 years paid it, it would not be worth. So we took all of their kind in payment, until the debt has been settled."
Somehow, I got the feeling the debt would not be settled for a long time. "So they're your slaves," I said coldly before biting down into the food I was given. The strange juices of the meat flooded into my mouth and nearly made me gag at first, but after a second it became, not good, but tolerable.
"Yes, no."
That was a helpful answer, but I was not asking a question, so it didn't really matter.
"They are not bought or sold or traded. They are given to those who need them."
He grunted in annoyance.
"Be gone, pony. I have work."
He snorted and turned away from me.
Nice guy,
I muttered as I walked away.
I wanted to build him a leg.
Of course Serenity did.
How did you plan to do that? You can't make one from scratch,
I said after finishing my meal. Okay, the food was actually good. Minotaurs managed to take a disgusting bug thing and make it eatable, somehow.
Still got the one I made for you after the old one got smashed. At least you should.
She looked at me accusingly. Did I still have the leg? It had been a while, and I knew do be all. Just to make sure, I lifted up my pit buck and flipped through the menus with my nose until I found the inventory management part. Yep, it was still there. At my nod, she continued.
Besides, his leg was missing past the knee, so it'd be easier to make. Ain't a challenge. Never built anything for a minotaur before.
Nor was she likely to. Soon, you'll be making full androids. Serenity beamed at my compliment. And I'm still surprised you were able to learn. The Watchers seemed less receptive to the technology. We had to stop and stand to the side as a row of minotaurs in full armor came barreling by. I couldn't help but take a look at their guns as they passed, and I might have salivated a little bit.
Well, it's not like they dislike it officially, just that they're associated with a religious thingy that dislikes them. Sometimes ponies come in what need help and are cyborgs, and we help everyone, so some ponies are trained in it. I just took to it early because it's really cool,
she explained as the minotaurs passed.
If everyone was a cyborg, it'd be so much easier. Hey, Mama, can I get...
No, I said quickly, voice off as I saw it. She waited for maybe a few seconds before responding.
I'm older now, can I?
Much older, I clarified.
Oh, why?
She whined. As a foal, I thought I was good at whining to get what I wanted. After adopting Serenity, I realized I was subpar at best. Firstly, you're too young to make that decision. You might change your mind when you're older. Usually cybernetics are a forever deal, I said. Yes, I had this speech prepared in advance, because I knew I was eventually going to have it with her. Secondly, you're still growing, so you'll have to get replacements every few months, and there's no way to afford that. And finally, the technology is still growing. Wouldn't you want to wait for cooler technology in 10 years? Serenity opened her mouth to whine again, but closed it before I heard a peep. Her brow furrowed in confusion, probably over the fact I actually made a coherent argument, before she hung her head.
Good point, she admitted. Fine, I'll wait for a few years. How'd you get so persuasive?
Dealing with you. If I didn't learn, you'd walk all over me, and I don't have enough caps for that.
Now, if only you could talk to any other pony without looking like you're going to tear their leg off and beat them with it.
Though I'd never actually done that, I was positive I could if so inclined. That's a different sort of persuasive, I said. With that final snarky remark, we found ourselves back in the doorway to our cell. I mean room. Not that I minded. The cramped room was better than 100 accusatory glares.
You, pony,
the minotaur who was guarding us said sharply as we moved towards the door.
I have a question.
What? I snapped, turning to glare at the much larger creature.
Not you, her.
The creature pointed down at Serenity with one of its sharp claws. It made me want to kick his head inside out. Serenity took a step forward and nodded.
You work for this group, the Watchers?
Serenity shook her head, but the Minotaur kept, for lack of a better word, watching her. So she explained.
I used to, sorta. Why?
The Minotaur narrowed its eyes. My guess was that it was studying her, but for what reason, I didn't know.
I see. Don't trust them.
What a genius this Minotaur was, telling us not to trust a faction in Dais. As if that wasn't obvious. Not like he was biased because that Minotaur ginger defected and joined them.
Sure, whatever.
Serenity huffed before turning back into the room. Well, that soured her mood quickly. He just had to ruin the only moment of levity in a really shitty day, didn't he? Without even bothering to say anything to him, I too walked through the door and took the time to slam it shut. It was mostly for effect, though, because if I was really angry, the door would have been in splinters.
Hey, Mama.
Serenity had managed to usurp the bed from me while I was busy being childish. She frowned and looked down at the blankets.
Guessing that she wanted to talk about something serious, I took a seat on the floor and motioned for her to continue.
What's going to happen to Spitshine?
I shut my stupid mouth and decided to think before speaking, a rare event for me. I'm not sure. It depends on what she wants. Most likely she'll live with Platinum Haze in her orphanage. The thought of Pinprick dying flashed through my memory again. I had to force the memory away. There would be plenty of time to dwell on that later. Hey, if she doesn't want to stay there, I'm not sure. I'll do what I can for her.
Will she come traveling with us?
Huh? I hadn't really thought about that option. No part of me really wanted another daughter. As much as I love Serenity, the idea of bringing another filly into the shit I got into didn't sit right. Maybe. If she really wanted to, I'm not sure I'd say no. I owed it to Spitshine to make her happy. That depends. Not if you didn't want her to. With my newfound ability to think ahead, I realized if Spitshine did start traveling with us, then it might just make Serenity jealous, for whatever reason. And if so, it would be completely off the table. Serenity had enough to deal with that I couldn't add jealousy on top of it. Though it was all mostly a moot point because I really doubted Spitshine would want to travel with us after how much I was implicated in her mother's death. That is to say, my failure directly caused it, and she was smart enough to realize it. Maybe to make it up to Spitshine, I'd capture Dragonslayer and let Spitshine kill him. That'd be nice, right?
I don't know. Maybe having a sister would be nice, but I don't want to share.
She fidgeted awkwardly.
That doesn't make me a bad pony, does it?
I was really the last pony in the wasteland to ask that question to. If I could tell the difference between good and bad, I wouldn't have gotten into half the messes I did. I don't think so, I said anyway, drawing a hoof around her. You've been through a lot. You deserve more than I can give you. Serenity didn't respond right away. Instead, she opted to sit quietly, studying the bed.
Mama, why did he do it?
I ran my hoof through her mane and asked, Who?
Dragon Slayer. Flair said he saw you fighting with someone who looked like him. It was him, wasn't it?
I nodded.
Why did he kill Pinprick?
Pinprick was trying to stop him from killing me. If she hadn't shown up at that exact time, well, nothing. He would have escaped just like he did, given he expected the explosion to kill me. That was a depressing thought. She didn't even manage to save me, despite giving her life in the attempt.
Well, why was he trying to kill you?
She furrowed her brow.
Why did he want every pony to start fighting a Karkov too? He paid you, and...
She frowned. That was not a pleasant memory for anyone. I don't know, I said. Maybe I'd ask him before killing him, though. I'll find out. There has to be a reason. He'll pay for what he's done.
What if... Maybe he had a reason, or he was confused. I mean, you've killed ponies too. Maybe he's like you.
Maybe, but someday I'd have to pay for my crimes too, hopefully after Serenity was grown, but eventually the family of one of the ponies I killed would come back to make me pay. If I had to guess, it would be Jazz of the Crimson Hoof, whose wife I killed. I don't know. Ponies do things for complicated reasons. But even still, what he's done, and what I've done, I'm not sure if anything could make up for that. But if he's trying to start a war, then he needs to be stopped. I guess it would have been more correct to say if he tried to start this war, but I was still holding on to the slim chance that maybe something would stop it. Serenity nodded her understanding.
So, if you stop him, will you be a hero, like the Batmare?
No pony would ever be a hero quite like the Batmare. I'm not sure I want to be a hero, but I still want to kill him or stop him, or I don't know. I sighed and lowered my head. I wish I had better answers to her questions.
I just wish ponies would stop fighting, even the stupid minotaurs, I guess. If every pony stopped fighting, then maybe things would be better.
She huffed. Pulling her into a tighter hug, I attempted to comfort her to the best of my ability. It wasn't fair that she had to be stuck in the middle of all this. Maybe it would have been better if I'd made her stay at Platinum Hayes' orphanage. Just get some sleep. We can't do anything till we get out of here, I added. Whatever happens, I promise I'll keep you safe. I had no right to be alive after my numerous and impressive failures, but I had to be alive for Serenity's sake. She deserved a better mother, but she had me, so I wasn't going to let my guilt keep her from her happiness. One day, maybe not soon, but eventually, I would find a safe place for her so we could live together in peace, at least until my past caught up to me. Leaning down, I planted a kiss on her forehead. It didn't take as long as I expected to get her to sleep, just getting her to lie down, then a few minutes of snuggling. It had been a long day, so I guess I should not have been surprised. After double-checking that she was asleep, I carefully moved away from her. She was such a little thing, and the way she hugged that Scootaborg toy of hers just made her seem even smaller. Then the guilt of dragging her through all such horrible places came back, and I was forced to turn away. Unfortunately, I wasn't really tired at all, and since there was no way I was going to leave Serenity alone, I was stuck in this tiny room. With a sigh, I brought up my pit buck and turned on the radio, though I was fairly sure I wasn't going to get it to work underground. True enough, all I got was static and jumbled words.
It's me, in the center, really, fusion, unknown, watching, creation, rain.
Groaning, I clicked off the radio and mulled over what little I could make out. It was useless and told me nothing. I guess it was worth a shot, at least. I really wanted to know what was going on in the city after the explosion. How did the residents react to the radiation? Celestia knows why. I actually wanted to know. Whatever was happening, it was bad, and it was my fault. There was nothing I could do about it. I squeezed my eyes shut and ground my teeth together. I really wanted to kick something, but there was nothing around to kick. I just... Fuck! I hissed. I just needed to take my mind off everything. Worrying more wasn't going to save any pony. It only drove me crazy. That's when I caught sight of the book on the desk. I'd seen it earlier, but I hadn't wanted to read it then. With nothing else better to do, I decided to put my hard-won reading ability to the test. It was a tight squeeze, but I managed to sit beside the desk so I could read the book without bumping into the bed. This room was still annoyingly small. Let's see. The council has once again rejected my proposal to change the electoral system. Well, it was at least written in Equestrian, but one sentence in, and I was already bored. They claim that my proposed changes were too orderly for a functioning government, and that it would go against Discord's will. More importantly, they once again claim that I was bitter over my loss of the election. As much as they spout their religious malarkey, I still don't see why a chaos god would care about how we elected leaders. By all accounts, Discord died 200 years ago along with the pony goddesses, so why should we follow such silly rules to honor him? There are claims he created our kind, and while this may be true, it doesn't mean we should put so much reverence on him. To decide the election on the draw of a card is simply ... I will never understand. Still, my reservations aside, I must abide by their ruling, and abide I shall. And this point in the writing, a few things were scribbled and crossed out over a few lines before it continued. It wasn't what I would call interesting, but maybe it would help me sleep. Beyond my continued annoyances at the council, my real reason for writing you is to tell you I have been promoted to general and am being stationed at a secret forward camp. Due to the nature of this position, I will not be able to send you any further letters, and I apologize. Soon this war will be over and I will return. Please be patient and take care of the calves. There was further scribbling and the words, "Rewrite," written below it. Sure enough, when I turned the page, I found a slightly different variation on the letter, and on the page after. Apparently, this minotaur had a thing for boring letters and perfectionism. Still, I scanned through the book. I had thought it was a diary before, but what it really was a workbook for a Minotaur's rough draft of letters. Most of the letters filled an entire page, a few too, but almost all were completely boring, and I was unable to get through a line without turning the page to find the next. There was one, however, that consisted of two lines and a small note. No, the war with the NCA is not an attempt to curb population growth due to recent food shortages. Why would you even waste time sending me this? On the side, there was what looked like a personal memo. It was hastily scribbled, so I couldn't make out the words, but the letters PM stuck out like a sore thumb. More political bullshit. Who knew the Minotaurs were so stuffy? Still, I kept reading. It wasn't really out of interest, more out of boredom. It was probably the most I'd read in a long time, and there was no doubt to me that I probably wouldn't remember any of it by the time I was done. Yeah, I fell asleep reading the book. This should be a surprise to exactly no pony. There was a loud banging that jerked me awake. The room was still blurry, and I mumbled something incomprehensible. The banging came again.
One sec,
I said and blinked a few times as I remembered where I was and what was going on. I moved over to the door, but stopped when I realized one of the pages had stuck to my face when I face-planted onto it in my sleep. After carefully removing the offending page, I looked over to the door. I didn't open it right away. A familiar sensation hit me. I reached into my saddlebag and took out a Med-X and injected myself. With myself now safely calm, I opened the door.
You know, the Minotaur King Prime Minister thing said before I even opened the door, making a ruler knock thrice is grounds for an execution. You're lucky.
That's bullshit. I stopped myself when I realized that might be offensive to an actual bull. I mean untrue.
Probably. I am actually leaving, but I thought I would give you some good news and some bad news.
He smirked.
The good news, little pony, is you can live.
Here comes the catch.
The bad news is, to live you must do a task for us. That thing on your leg, it allows you to spot hostiles, right? Including animals.
Anything hostile? Why?
This morning the NCA has officially declared war. We have been at war for years, but now it is in writing, which means a lot of things.
He crossed his arms.
This base is secure because of the Red Scorpion infestation. They are all over the tunnels, but worse here, so none of your ponies have ventured through this tunnel. But now it will cause a problem. We need it for a surprise attack and cannot risk being caught by those bugs. We have managed to find out where their queen is, which should cut down on the scorpion menace, allowing us free movement. But it would go easier with your assistance. Since you are able to spot these things without sound or sight, bringing you along would help the team we are sending.
You want me to help clear out the only thing stopping you from surprising one of the NCA's largest bases in exchange for my freedom?
Quite.
Okay. He blinked at me, almost shocked, before grinning. It was either that or dying, and more importantly, going on this mission would give me plenty of opportunity to escape without even doing the job, considering he just confirmed that this train tunnel connected to the Dais Underground.
Good, good. Get your things in order, then talk to the guards. You'll be given appropriate gear and instructions.
He stared at me for way too long before turning and walking away. It did not leave me feeling very hopeful. I decided right away not to tell Serenity about the job. For one, I didn't care about the NCA Minotaur War, but she might, and I didn't want her to get the impression I sided with the Minotaurs. Even if it was sort of true in this case, it wasn't true overall, because I really didn't care who won. No matter who won, Dais would lose. Of this, I was sure. Serenity, I nudged her awake. Wake up. She blinked away and let out a heart-wrenchingly adorable yawn.
Hey, Mama.
She rubbed her eyes.
We gotta leave now?
Yeah, sweetie, but we need to do something first. I explained to her the basic idea of what we had to do, but ignored the reason why. If anything, she would assume that it was to stop things like what happened to us yesterday. I also added the fact that if this was the queen, it would reduce the rad scorpion infestation under Dais. She seemed to agree with that, though she looked a bit worried at the prospect of going to hunt this thing. It was hard to reassure her of that, since I was just as worried, but given the circumstances. It didn't take long for us to get our gear together, because we didn't really have much gear, and what we did have, we'd never really unpacked. After some breakfast, grilled scorpion legs, we were taken to a large tent near the front of the tunnel camp. Inside the tent, I found myself surrounded by five rather large minotaurs. All of them were decked out in heavy-looking black armor and large flamethrowers. The largest of the minotaurs opened the visor to his helmet and looked down at me.
"Please relinquish your saddle weaponry and barding. We need to upgrade them with the proper equipment for this mission."
He looked over at my filly.
"That might be difficult."
"Okay." I took off my battle saddle and armored barding and hoofed it over to the minotaur as requested, and he handed it over to a different minotaur who scooted out of the tent. What is this about?"
"The most efficient way of handling the rat scorpion threat is with fire. We are equipping you with a flamethrower and upgrading your barding to make it at least partially fireproof. We are seeing if the filly can be made a set of barding, but if it is not possible, then she will be forced to stay here."
"Let Serenity fight giant meat and bugs, or make her wait with the minotaurs alone. What choices?" "I see." I looked between them. "What exactly is my role?"
"You will point out groups so we can get the jump on them. Also, we have orders to kill you if you try to run."
"Well, that's no fun." "Right, gotcha. Now, I wasn't planning on running anyway." The minotaur gave me a level look and said nothing, but pulled his visor back down. "Okay.
Do you guys have names?"
Serenity perked her ears up and looked between them.
"My name is Serenity, and my mama's name is Harry Gunn."
One of the minotaurs snorted at the name. Still, after all these weeks, nobody believed it was my real name. The lead minotaur didn't speak up, but one of them did. Given that she had no horns, I guess she was a cow.
"Ignore him, little filly. He is just in a bad mood because he does not like your kind."
Her voice was muffled behind her mask, but it was still soft. She brought her hand to her chest.
"I am Peace of Mind, but you may call me Peace or Palm."
She pointed out the two quiet minotaurs to either side of her.
"These are Forward Movement and Forward Thinker, but we call them Move and Think."
Both grunted and grating. The one she pointed to when she said Forward Movement was a cow, like her, while the other was a bull.
"And our Fearless Leader."
Fearless Leader sort of sounds like a minotaur name.
"Is Unrelenting Will."
"Nice to meet you," Serenity smiled. "I like making new friends. Are you my new friends now?"
"Sure, kid. And might I just say..."
The cow looked at me.
"I am grateful that you saved our Prime Minister. It would be a hassle to do elections in a time like this."
You're welcome." I took a seat on the ground. "How long is this gonna take to get the gear?" Unrelenting Will sighed and flipped up his visor again.
"A few hours. Intricate detail likes to take his time," he said harshly. "Get comfortable."
You know what is not comfortable? Sitting in a room with four giant minotaurs. Never before had I felt so out of place, and I almost felt out of place no matter where I went. It got better, though. After about an hour, the minotaurs all but forgot we were there, which let me zone out. Once the smallish minotaur, taller than me but shorter than the others, Intricate Detail came back, I was finally able to get suited up. My barding had been turned into full black body armor similar to the ones the minotaurs wore. The barding now covered all three of my legs completely, not my metal one though, except for a hole where my pitbuck screen was. It also came with a gas mask, made for a pony. I didn't ask how they got it. That was slightly too small and didn't match. The only part of the armor that wasn't changed at all were the pockets on the collar where I kept emergency supplies. My battle saddle was also tricked out with a new flamethrower, though they said I had to give it back after the mission, and a gas tank on my back. As well, they fixed the feed system for Subtlety that Dragon Slayer broke the day before. Serenity's armaments were less impressive. She got what amounted to a large black fireproof sheet with a head hole cut in it. Once she put it on, the sheet covered her tail and all four legs as if she had a blanket draped over herself, which was essentially what it was. She also got a gas mask, but one far too large for her head. Her horn actually fit in the mask without a hole, not that she had a very large horn to begin with. It was also heavily padded inside so that it wouldn't wobble. What it did, though, was give the impression that she had a giant head. It was also apparently extremely hard to move her head with all that extra weight. I tried my very best not to laugh. Apparently, it wasn't even that hard to make, either, given how fast Intricate managed to do all that work. Either that, or he was some sort of mechanical savant. Probably the second. It was the Wasteland, after all. Once I was properly instructed on the use of my new gear, it came with two firing bits now, one for each weapon. Mixing them up would be bad. And a short bit on tactics that I pretended to listen to, we left the tent. Visors down and gas masks on, we headed out.
Keep your eyes up,
Unrelenting Will said as we passed the barricade that marked the exit to the camp.
They could be anywhere.
Part of me wanted to ask where exactly we were going, but I doubted that would have garnered much information, as it was probably already covered in the tactics meeting. Instead, I asked something stupid.
So, your name is Unrelenting Will?
The larger Minotaur looked down at me with a look of confusion before replying with a gruff,
Yes.
Are you related to Unbreakable Will?
That was the Minotaur I found working for the Mustang Water Purification Plant. Normally I was bad at remembering names, but that one had stuck with me. The Minotaur looked back down at me and nodded slowly.
How do you know that disgrace?
Oh, well, this wasn't going well at all.
He is supposed to remain unseen. Don't tell me the fool was caught.
I was never going to understand the Minotaur's sense of honor.
Oh, ignore him, Peace admonished Will. He and his brother don't get along because...
She was swiftly cut off before she could say another word.
That is none of the outsider's business.
He looked back forward.
Speak no more of it, or I'll cut your rations.
But then I'll just steal from you, sweetie.
She looked back to me.
He's so grumpy, this fearless leader of ours. Oh, he should have been named Fearless Leader. His father made a mistake in that account, but we all must pay for the sins of thy father, right, Will?
The Minotaur she was addressing moved ahead and completely ignored us. I got the feel the two of them did this a lot. Peace of Mind snorted in response, but made no move to continue the conversation, leaving me awkwardly standing between five stoic Minotaurs and one bored filly.
So?
The smallest of the Minotaurs addressed me.
I have never seen a pony calf up close before.
He leaned in.
They are quite cute, I must say. Their eyes are so big. I am fairly sure that is what achieves the effect.
Foals,
Serenity corrected.
Pony children are called foals. The girls are fillies, and the boys are colts. You really should know this.
They also seem to be very intelligent, and somewhat arrogant.
Intricate Design remarked, which elicited a glare from me.
Oh, I am just teasing, miss, trying to lighten the mood.
No more was said by him, and he fell back into line as we walked. The more we walked, it seemed the quieter the group became. By the time we reached the door in the tunnel wall, everyone was dead silent. Even their hoofsteps seemed lighter. The torch flickered in one of the Minotaur's hands as Unrelenting Will moved to open the door. He looked to me first, and it took me a second to remember why.
Oh, right,
I said suddenly and looked at the EFS in my vision. We showed no red and no amber except the people nearby.
All clear.
Unrelenting Will nodded silently to me and opened the door. Beyond it was almost exactly what I was expecting, a tunnel just like the ones that crisscrossed under Dais, though this one lacked the lighting. From here, I would be able to get into Dais, so as long as I didn't get lost.
Yeah. Perhaps it was better to do the job and not risk getting shot, than lost. Peace went next, followed by the twins, Intricate Detail, and finally Serenity and I. It was a nice change to the familiar. The tunnels of Daes had become as much a part of me as the city streets, even though not all the memories in the tunnels were good. The darkness did not help the memories either. The last time I walked into darkened tunnels was, unpleasant to say the very least. Sometimes I could still hear words whispered on the wind. When the tunnels under Daes got dark, you didn't stick around, you ran. As I walked, I wondered if I should have listened. The tunnels were dark and empty. Each step we took echoed down the hall into the distance. I could hear the tension in the quiet breaths of my companions. Even Unrelenting Will seemed uneasy, his movements awkward and nervous. Serenity, for her part, spent most of the time on my back, hugging me close. The darkened tunnels were worse for her than they were for me, and once again, I had dragged her into bitter memories. Time seemed to slow as we moved along, helped in part by the quietness of my companions. Once or twice, I saw a flash of red across my vision, but it went away before I could say anything. Even with my EFS, I was still on edge. Every creak could have been the scorpion swarm. Every groan could have been a long-dead ghoul searching for prey. Thankfully, I found no ghouls, but as for scorpions, it was inevitable. That was what we were here for, after all, so I had to expect them, to be ready for them. I let out a shallow breath as red flashed across my vision. It didn't go away this time.
Stop.
My voice was a whisper. At the word, all the minotaurs stopped and became even more focused, if that was possible.
There's something.
The red blip moved to my right, but vanished quickly.
There was something to the right.
The five of them heaved up their flamethrowers, and I felt myself adjusting mine. Directly to our right was a wooden door, and Unrelenting Will didn't even bother to try and unlock it. From a kick from one of his goat-like legs, the door fell inward. He peeked in and waved his torch around, making shadows dance in the gloom.
Nothing,
he said. There was a pause in his voice.
Wait.
He leaned in a bit further and brought his flamethrower to bear. I was not expecting the heat to bathe over me the way it did when his weapon sent out a spurt of fire. I recoiled away instinctively, but only for a second. Never did I actually see what it was that he set on fire, but I did see the flames reflecting in the glass of his gas mask and his eyes underneath. They were narrowed and his brow furrowed. I don't think he knew quite what it was he was setting on fire, but I think whatever it was needed the fire.
Let's keep going,
he said grimly. None of us questioned his actions or asked what he set on fire. I would like to believe it was just a stray scorpion. That did nothing to help with the sense of tension in the darkened corridor. Instead, it put everyone on edge. The minotaurs flanked to either side, with Peace at the back walking backwards and Intricate Design in the center of the formation with me.
Open every door,
Unrelenting Will said as we moved again.
If anything moves, burn it.
The tone of his voice was deathly serious, even by his standards. My gut twisted as the next door was kicked open by Peace of Mind, and then set whatever was beyond on fire. I could hear her gulp when she finished and stepped back into line. Nothing more was said. Nothing more needed to be said.
Do you think it's that thing?
Serenity asked into my ear.
No.
It wasn't the orb. We buried that in a tunnel on the other side of Daes. Whatever they were seeing wasn't an illusion, though part of me wished it was. After my encounters with such magic, it would be more familiar, more welcoming than whatever this was.
It's just a precaution.
I tried my best to be reassuring.
Okay,
she said softly.
Are we ever going back there?
What?
Unrelenting Will turned back to me. His eyes were obscured by his mask and the gloomy light, but I got the feeling he was glaring at me for talking.
Back there, you told Simpleheart. You said you were going to get that back. That thing.
The orb, right. I did say that, didn't I?
And you normally keep your word.
Yeah, she had to bring my honor into it.
my slavery, as the Minotaur would put it.
Yeah,
I sighed. It was my code, and I planned to keep it. Sometimes it was the only thing that made sense.
I'll probably go alone. You don't need to. Shut up!
Unrelenting Will hissed at us.
Intricate.
He motioned the small Minotaur over to a door in front of us to the right.
Fine, fine. Make me do all the work. I'm a mechanic and not a soldier, you know.
He walked over to the door, muttering,
Bark, bark, bark.
The wooden door creaked open, and the Minotaur peeked inside.
What is...
He brought his torch closer and waved it around.
Nothing.
He turned back towards the group.
There is a hole in the floor, but nothing more.
Red flashed on my EFS.
Watch out!
I said quickly. It came out of nowhere and moved across my EFS indicator faster than it had any right to.
Huh?
He turned back around. There was a gasp from his mask as he struggled to bring the muzzle of his flamethrower up. There was a sickening crunch. A black stinger burst out of the back of intricate detail in a spray of blood. His body went limp, but didn't fall. Instead, the tail lifted him off the ground and slammed his body into the doorframe. By the time he fell from the stinger, if he was still alive, he wouldn't last for long, not with that huge hole in him. From the door, the culprit scuttled out, a rad scorpion the size of any pony.
Shit!
Peace of Mind acted first, rushing forward with her flamethrower. The gout of orange fire licked the giant bug, making it hiss. It tried to run around, but flame from Unrelenting's weapon blocked its path. By the time Forward Movement and Forward Thinker added their weapons to the attack, the thing was a charred mass of flesh.
Shit.
Peace of Mind kicked the charred bug and looked down at Intricate Detail's corpse. She spoke some words in a whisper before leaning down to move his hands over his chest.
We need to keep going.
Yes.
Unrelenting Will agreed.
There's a hole in the room.
He said of the room Intricate Detail had tried to clear.
Go down there.
We really were quite crazy, weren't we? This mission was just insane in every way. Peace of Mind nodded and motioned for us to follow her into the room. Whatever the room was before the war, I couldn't really tell. With the only light being the flames and my pit buck, it was hard to see the room at all. The only thing I really had eyes for was the hole anyway. I kept staring, looking for signs of Red, but I got nothing. When Peace saw that I saw no danger, she jumped down into it first, making the room I was in that much darker. By the time the siblings went in, the room was all but dark.
Hold on tight,
I whispered to Serenity. When I felt her hooves tighten around me, I jumped into the dark hole and landed with an echoing thud. It was strange, though. Just as I landed, I thought I heard above me the sound of a flamethrower going off. The creature was dead, though, so I wasn't sure what he could be shooting at. And when Unrelenting jumped down beside us, he didn't say anything at all about it.
This way.
The leader strode forward with his torch waving in front of him. He seemed to know where he was going, so we all followed. None of them said a word about the comrade they had just lost. It wasn't necessary, apparently. The room was basically identical to the one we had just jumped in from, but there was no door in the doorframe. When we entered the hallway on the other side, I saw the unmistakable sight of a red dot on my EFS.
To the right,
I whispered.
Hostiles. 1, 2, 6, 8. Maybe more,
I said as I looked down the hallway, but it stretched further than my EFS could read. Unrelenting Will let out a long burst of flame down the way I pointed. The hallway became alive with light and shadows for a second, enough to see that on the other side were maybe a dozen smaller scorpions. At the sight of the flames, they started to skitter towards us, but when the first few were roasted by the flames, the rest of them scattered into the darkness. Unrelenting Will didn't say anything, but he started moving down the hallway, so we all followed, more on guard now than ever. Pace walked behind me backwards, her flamethrower perpetually hefted into one hand and pointing wherever she looked, while the siblings walked to either side and sent a blast of flame into every doorway we passed, just in case. A few of the times they did, I could hear hissing and pain.
Are we going the right way?
I asked after a few minutes of eerie silence. It was more to hear my own voice than my actual curiosity. Although it was a bit odd we jumped down a hole, that couldn't have been on any map.
Yes,
he said hoarsely. There was nothing else to be said, and I was not about to question him further. Just keep walking and hope we survive. It did ruin my plan of running away, though, and I really didn't want to get lost in this place.
Maybe we should have brought a larger force.
5 minotaurs and me seemed a bit small for something this crucial. I mean, I was a one-pony army, but there were a lot of these bugs.
Don't you ever shut up.
If he thought I talked a lot, he would never, ever want to meet Flair, or Serenity on Sugar. She was very quiet right now, as she often got when things were tense, but on Sugar. Still, at that I shut up. I gathered there was some reason why the squad was so small, and I had the feeling that it had something to do with the Minotaur's sense of honor. Maybe they had committed some crime, and their punishment was this suicide mission. It explained why the Minotaur King seemed sure I was going to object to the job. He, of course, made the foolish mistake of thinking I was smart, but I showed him. A red dot flashed across my vision. I followed it with my eye so I could get an idea of where it was and where it was going. I really wish DFS actually showed height. The red blotch on my EFS could be right around the corner or a floor down. It was impossible to tell. Still, when I noticed it slow and stop on the right, I had to say something.
Next hallway, on the right.
Unrelenting Will grunted a response and motioned for the rest of us to hang back. I wasn't about to argue if he wanted to take on whatever it was on my EFS. He inched forward carefully and peered around the corner. When he seemed to be satisfied with what he saw, he turned into the hallway. Only to gasp. His torch fell from his hand and his arm shot out suddenly. He gave a loud grunt and stepped back a few feet, letting his foe come into view. It was a rad scorpion, no surprises there, bigger than the one that had killed Intricate Design. Unrelenting had his hand holding onto the creature's stinger, barely holding it back. When it tried to forget its stinger and rush forward with its claws, Unrelenting very calmly reached out a hoof and slammed it into the creature's head, holding it back. For all the confidence in his face, I could hear him grunt and try to hold the creature back. It was far too close to use his flamethrower, which really only left one option. I slid into sights and queued up a single shot to the bug's side. When I slipped out of it, Subtlety let out a blisteringly loud roar. The hole that Subtlety made in the beast's chitinous armored side was relatively small, but the exit wound on the other side was anything but, and it exploded in a shower of ichor and guts. The thing let out a pitiful screech before filing silent and motionless.
What did you do that for?
Unrelenting wiped his bloody hand on his armor before turning to me.
I had it taken care of.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Trying to speed things up,
I remarked dryly, eliciting a slight chuckle from Peace.
Ah, we must continue to move.
He stopped mid-word and looked around.
Check your scanner.
He must have been talking about my EFS, so I did. Oh.
Lots more red dots coming this way.
I motioned to the hallway the Rad Scorpion Unrelenting fought came from. When I looked around again to double-check, I noticed something much more distressing.
And a lot coming behind us. Like a lot.
Apparently, they didn't cull as many as they thought yesterday, because in both of those directions, my EFS was just a solid wall of red. This left us with one direction, forward. As it was the way we were going anyway, everyone took off in a sprint, which for me was a jog, as I didn't want to get too far ahead of them and end up alone. Minotaurs were really slow and top-heavy, but we had enough of a head start that I think we were in the clear. We would be caught up with eventually, but unlike last time, I didn't think we'd be completely overrun. I'm also an idiot. Instead of giving us time to regroup, the massive swarm caught up with us within a minute. I could hear their chittering behind us, and sure enough, when I looked back, I could see the claws starting to appear in the gloom of our torchlight. With that incentive, I started to run fast, hopefully urging my companions to move faster than they had been. Not that it worked.
Turn and spray.
All at once, the four remaining Minotaurs turned and let out bursts of flame.
Mama!
Serenity instructed me, so I turned and let my flamethrower go with them. The familiar heat washed over me, and I was glad that my barding was fireproofed. Serenity let out a little squeal, and I felt her duck behind me for cover. The end result was a literal wall of flame stopping the creatures dead. Though, behind the fire, I could see more moving, waiting for the flames to die down. Unrelenting Will grunted at the sight, then turned and hurried down the hallway, eager to put as much distance between us as possible. Part of me wondered why leave it all. We had enough fuel to kill them all. Still, I wasn't about to fight them on my own, so I followed eagerly.
Their queen has to be around here.
Unrelenting Will grunted back to us.
We're in the heart of their nest.
He could say that again. Every direction I looked, I saw smatterings of red. Too much to even think about calling out all of them, unless I saw something important. Like when we reached the end of the hallway, with two doors on either side. One had a solid wall of red behind, the other only one.
Right,
I said quickly.
The other has more scarps.
The lead Minotaur grunted and moved to kick the door down, and before he even did, all of us moved to go through. I didn't notice until halfway through his kick that there was light pouring through the cracks around the door frame, and being so close to the door made my Pitbuck's Geiger counter start clicking. Sunlight burst from the now open door into our eyes. After so long in the dim light of torches, the light was nearly blinding, but it didn't stop all of us from charging blindly forward. Of course, I only had one eye that needed to adjust. My other saw everything just fine. If I wasn't being pushed forward by a bunch of large Minotaurs, I would have stopped and run. In the center of the room was the largest scorpion I had ever seen. It could easily outsize a vertebuck, though still smaller than a land shark, and its black carapace seemed to shine in the sunlight. Its two massive claws could have easily cut a pony in two without much effort. As soon as I stopped being pushed, I stared so dumbfounded at it, I couldn't even comprehend our surroundings.
Mama, what is...
I could hear the fear in her voice. Right, she needed a place to hide. My gaze was torn away from the giant, now screeching, beast to scan the room. The first thing I noticed was that the circular room was cut in half. There was a whole section missing that led out into space, and it took me a second to realize what I was seeing. The crater outside Dais I had seen yesterday. I was in it. Well, I was right beside it. It managed to destroy a section of tunnel, leaving a gaping hole. All I would need to do was run out that hole, and I'd probably fall into the massive crater. Part of me remembered what Flair said yesterday, that strange mutations seemed to happen to things that got too close to it, and I had to wonder if that was what had caused the scorpion to grow so large. The rest of the room was empty, except for patches of strange black ichor. All along the walls and floor were small holes, large enough for smaller rad scorpions to leave from, but not enough for any of us, not counting Serenity. What it did leave were various piles of rubble around the edge of the room.
Serenity, hide!
But...
She started to protest, but I turned and gave her a look through my mask. It was enough for her to nod and run off and hide behind a pile of rubble, though I was sure I saw her float out her pistol as she ran.
Forward,
Unrelenting Will commanded.
Try to force it off the edge.
That was actually a good plan. As big as it was, I doubted it could survive the fall, and it was much easier than trying to kill it normally due to the fact it was really fucking huge. The five of us made a semicircle and all at once let out matching jets of fire. The creature let out a hideous shriek in pain and recoiled from the flames. As it did, I felt the tension in my stomach lift. Maybe we could actually kill this monstrous thing. It was backing up the way we wanted. Altogether, we took a step forward, and the wall of fire made it recoil more, inching closer to the edge. We could actually win this. I could actually do this. After so many failures, I had a chance to do something good, to start making up for the past. Sure, it was going to help the Minotaurs, but I had heard stories of rad scorpions infesting the tunnels under Dais, and I have seen it for myself on multiple occasions. If this could help stop them, halt their growth, it would be something. Maybe only a little thing, but damn it, I deserve to be proud of something. I need to prove to myself I could do it. I could change the way my life was heading. I just need to push a little further. The creature crawled back more, hissing in pain. I could smell charred meat and see smoke rising from the great beast's black shell. I licked my lips and pressed forward again, ignoring the intense heat scalding my armor. Just a little farther. Just a little. Forward movement's flamethrower took that moment to sputter out of fuel, leaving a gap in the flame wall. Before any of us had a chance to respond, the giant beast's tail snapped forward. When I turned my head in shock towards the sound, I saw the minotaur impaled on the beast's spiny tail. He made a weak gurgle before falling limp. The tail was torn out of the corpse in a spray of blood and entrails that made my stomach turn.
No!
Forward Thinker shouted. The two of them were so quiet I'd almost forgotten they could talk at all. And, more importantly, I forgot they were siblings.
Get back in line!
Unrelenting Will tried to order, but the cow didn't listen. She dropped her flamethrower and rushed to her brother's corpse. I understood. If it had been my brother, as much as we disagreed, I might have acted similarly. But it left a gap in our wall, and it gave us an increasing chance of failure. Something cracked into me, and I was pushed over, tumbling onto my side. With a groan of pain, I brought a hoof to my chest, but winced away when I touched it. It was like something had set my side on fire. There were shouts around me, and the sound of the creature moving far too fast. When I looked up, I saw it towering over Forward Thinker. The cow looked up at the beast, and to her eternal credit, reached for her backup rifle, and even managed to get off a single shot. It was too little, too late. The red scorpion queen's claw moved forward and, with sickening ease, cut the minotaur in half.
Shit!
I muttered as I struggled to my hooves. I didn't have time for panic or worry. All I could do was fight and try to survive. I fired subtly into the side of the beast, and when the bullet tore a chunk from its shell, it let out a frightful screech. It distracted the beast enough that Will and Peace, who had been pushed to the other side of the beast, were able to light up that side with their flamethrowers. The queen did not die, though. I shot it 3 more times in the side, and still it just refused to die. On the contrary, it swung its massive claw through the jets of fire into the 2 minotaurs. The fire was cut short, and I saw the 2 slam into a wall. The scorpion's tail turned to the now defenseless minotaurs and looked ready to fight. So, I stopped time. I slid into sats and lined out a shot at the tip of the queen's tail. When I came out of the pitbuck spell, subtly fired. The bullet ripped into the tail, not cutting off the end, but leaving a massive hole. The creature once again screeched in pain, and the paws allowed the 2 minotaurs to move away from the creature. Unfortunately, the only way the 2 could retreat was closer to the edge where the room was cut off by the crater.
Shit!
I dimly heard Unrelenting Will growl as he banged his claw against the side of his flamethrower. He dropped the weapon and pulled out his assault rifle. The bull let out a spray of bullets at the back of the scorpion as it moved to turn around. Perhaps this was our chance. It was big, but slow, and maybe... I moved forward, blasting at its side with my flamethrower. Peace, too, used her still-working flamethrower to char the area that Unrelenting was shooting at. We still had a chance. Even 3 members down and in pain from the beast's attacks, we could still come out on top. We just had to push a little harder. I fought through the pain, not enough time to grab a medics, and moved forward as fast as I could. The fire from my weapon sprayed across the side of the creature's shell, burning and melting as it did so. The heat that washed over me was intense, but I kept pressing into the attack. I could survive a few small burns, so as long as we survived this. So as long as we could get Serenity out alive. Then the stupid thing had to do something unexpected. It started backing up, really fast. Without even bothering to turn around, it charged blind into the heat and gunfire. Peace of mind was swift enough to dodge, but Unrelenting Will was hit hard and sent stumbling back towards the edge. He seemed to regain his balance just as he was balancing on the edge of the room. Then a piece of floor gave out on him. He slipped, his back slammed into the corner of the edge before he rolled off the side. Not completely, though. I could barely see that he managed to grab onto the edge with his claw.
Will!
Peace did not drop her flamethrower, or stop spraying. but she did edge towards where he hung. Maybe if I distracted the thing, she'd have a chance. So, I fired subtlety into its side until I had to reload. It seemed to work. The creature turned to me and screeched out in pain. As it started walking towards me, I noticed it seemed unsteady, and ichor was dripping from innumerable wounds. We were wearing it down, just a little longer, and maybe we could get it to bleed out. I lowered my bruised body and let out a spray of fire from my battle saddle.
Fight me!
I yelled at it, really hoping to keep its attention more than anything. I bit down harder and let another blast of fire wash over the creature. It seemed to balk and give me time to look over to see how the minotaurs were doing. Not good. As it turned out, Peace had managed to grab Unrelenting's hand and was struggling to pull him up, but she wasn't having much luck. As much as she grunted and pulled, he wasn't coming over the edge, and she didn't look like she was about to back down. There was a sudden crack and grinding noise. The floor where they stood shook for a second. Then it broke. 1 second, the two minotaurs were there struggling to get back into the room. The next, they were gone. Vanished. I dimly thought I heard a distant thud of landing far below, but I couldn't be sure. My head turned back to the giant scorpion that was now renewing its efforts to kill me. The fight had started with 5 of us, and I was the only one left in such a short time. Fuck. Fuckity fuck. My eyes darted to the entrance of the room. Screw this mission. Screw this rad scorpion queen. I was done. I let out a final blast of fire to warn the queen away, then turned.
Serenity!
I started to move towards where Serenity had hidden.
We need to get out of here!
A sharp pain made my words die in my throat and turn into a muffled scream. My head turned back towards the pain. The burning sensation felt like fire under my skin. My leg, my left hind leg, was pierced through by a black stinger. My body froze in place. I couldn't move. I could barely comprehend the sensation. I wanted to laugh, to cry, to scream, but all actions failed me. Until I was lifted into the air by my impaled leg, and I was able to truly understand the enormity of the situation I was in. Looking down, I could see myself rising higher above the ground. I panicked, my legs kicking wildly as I tried to dislodge myself. It didn't work. Nothing seemed to work. I kept flailing, but I was still in so much pain and still hanging, about to die. It was only when the queen started to lower me within range of one of her giant claws that I saw my chance. The hole I had blown in the tail earlier. There was a huge chunk missing, and it looked weak. Maybe. I kicked my free hind leg at the wound. The creature gave a hiss, but I was still moving towards the claw. Another kick. I was in between the two parts of the claw, and it was about to snap shut. There was no time for panic or fear. All I could do was kick with all my might and pray that Celestia was merciful. She was. The kick snapped the end of the tail off, and I fell. I landed head first in a heap on the ground, with the claw snapping above me. My whole body was racked with pain, but I was alive, somehow, against all odds. As the scorpion scurried away backwards, I moved to get back to my hooves. There was still time. We could still escape. For some reason, I fell when I tried to stand. I couldn't understand it. Why was I falling? What happened? Why did my leg stop hurting so much? My eyes scanned the room. Maybe I tripped. Maybe. My brain wasn't working, and my eyesight was getting blurry. How could this... My leg. I saw it. It was lying on the ground a few feet away with the barbed stinger still in it. Why was it over there? It was bleeding. Was I bleeding? It didn't make any sense. Why could I think? What had... My eye fell to my hind leg, to where my hind leg was supposed to be, but it wasn't there anymore. It was cut off at the middle, leaving only a bloody stump. So much blood. And was already pooling around me. My leg was gone, cut off. How could this, how?
Mama, watch out!
My bleary eyes looked up. The scorpion was mad and charging at me. Oh, I was gonna die anyway. It seemed funny. After everything, I would die like this. Part of me wanted to laugh, but I had misplaced my voice.
No!
A light pink field enveloped the scorpion. It started screaming in pain. At least it moved its mouth like it was. I couldn't hear anything. The creature started flailing and backing up. Serenity was doing something to it. It slammed into the door we used to get into the room.
Mama, shoot it!
Shoot. My gun. I still had subtlety. I could still survive. So, I struggled to my three legs. My vision was blurry, though, and I couldn't stand straight. But I had to shoot to, So, I slipped into sights. Time stopped, and the fog over my brain was lifted. I aimed a shot with the targeting system right at the creature's eye. The bullet tore into it, and it cried out in pain. I was still wobbly, and it wasn't dead. Out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw Serenity firing her gun too, but it was hard to tell. Sounds seemed so muted. When Sats recharged, I went into it again and fired another shot. This time, it didn't scream. It didn't fight. It just slumped over, dead. Please let it be dead. Not that I could check. As soon as it fell, I did too. I was losing blood. I seemed to be fading. Part of me said I needed to survive, but the rest of me said, I've done enough today, and I had to sleep. It seemed like a smart voice, I thought, as the world grayed around me. Sleep seemed nice.
Where am I?
The light was burning my eyes, and I could hardly see.
Warrior?
My hooves were strapped down.
That was silly.
I could lie down fine just on my own.
Sweetie? A familiar voice called out in the blinding light. Calm down. When my eyes adjusted, I saw I recognized the voice. She was a friend of Mama, but I could never remember her name. Wait. Mama.
Mama!
I screamed.
What happened? Where?
The memories were blurry. The last thing I remembered was that olive stallion. He had a gun. There was a lot of pain. So much pain. And Mama was bleeding. I tried to save her. Did I? Had I managed to save her?
Is she? Can I see her? Please? Mama, please. You have to be all right.
The mayor shook her head. What was her name? I'm so sorry, sweetie. She didn't make it.
Didn't make it. She was...
Oh, I was a stupid fool. But even I knew what that meant. I wanted to cry, to feel sad. But I couldn't. I just felt numb. They were talking to me. I saw their mouths moving, and I heard the sounds. But they didn't become words in my head, just sounds. Meaningless, abstract. The ponies in front of me, I knew them, but not their names. They made pointless sounds. They tried to sound reassuring, but it meant nothing. Just noise. So I didn't pay attention. When I asked about my brother, they said more noises. Comforting noises, but still useless. All that mattered was that he was gone. Forever, they said. Their noises couldn't stop that.
You have to live. I can't lose you, please. I can fix it.
They had to be lying. I decided this with sincerity. They were lying to me. Mama couldn't be dead. Brother couldn't be gone. I tried to move, but they stopped me. They said I was shot with a bullet. Another lie. Bullets were deadly, Mama always said. And I was alive. I squirmed in their stranglehold, and eventually they let me go. I stood up on the ground. My body was sore. But like the noises they made, it didn't mean anything. I walked out into the open. It was raining outside. Cold rain on my coat. Mama always said I should stay inside when it rained. But I had to go out. I had to find her. They were lying. I had to find Mama. So it was okay to be out in the rain. My legs carried me without thinking towards where it happened. Where I found the bullets. Where Mama was. Where I would find Mama alive. She had to be there. She wouldn't leave me.
She would never leave me because I needed her, and she loved me. She always loved me. Just a little bit further, and I would find her waiting for me. Bang, bang, bang. The memory of the bullet hitting me. The pain in my chest. The struggle to move. Maybe they weren't lying about that part. Maybe the noises were right. But then maybe they were right about Mama, too. How could I know? I had to see. So I ignored the memory and ignored the pain and kept walking to where I knew I'd find Mama. Tears stung my eyes, but I wasn't sure why. Everything felt numb except the tears. They were real. They meant something, even though everything felt meaningless. I saw it. The building we were supposed to scavenge. It wasn't empty, though. There was a red ball. There was a red ball lying in the gray rain. Why, as I walked closer, I saw Cakewalk, or Wildfire, or whatever her name was. She was crying, too, curled up in a ball. She was crying, even though I think she was asleep. I walked up to her and looked over her. She was a small filly. Such a small filly. And she was crying. But why? I was too dumb. I couldn't figure it out. I leaned down and nosed at her cheek. But she just whined and turned her head away. She needed to wake up. If she slept out here, she was going to get a cold. How could I wake her up, though? There was a loud noise. And I blinked my eyes in confusion and looked around. Was that an explosion? No. It must have been my imagination. But whatever it was, Wildfire heard it too, because she was sitting up now. Her eyes bloodshot, red, staring at me.
You did this,
she sniffled.
Danny, he was protecting you and your stupid mother.
She was yelling at me, but I understood those noises. What she meant. She was angry.
I'm sorry.
I choked up. The words hurt to speak.
What happened? They shot him, Daddy, because...
She started to cry again.
Leave me alone. I want to be alone.
No. Her daddy was alive, along with my mom. She just had to believe.
You'll catch a cold. Let's go back. You don't want a cold.
I tried to tell her, but the words came out slow and awkward. It was cold and wet, and she would get sick. We would wait for them inside Mayorfort. Wait for our parents to come back.
No!
She stood up aggressively.
Leave me alone!
She was being silly. So... Before she could finish talking, I picked her up onto my back and started walking back towards Mayorfort.
What are you doing? Put me down.
I didn't. And when I didn't respond to her, she returned to her quiet sobbing. She shouldn't cry. It was just going to make her more wet. And it was raining, so we were already wet enough. I couldn't blame her, though. I was crying, too. Not as much. She cried more. I walked her through the gloom of the rainy evening and into Mayorfort. I paused right before the door to decide. Part of me wanted to go to my house, but I wanted Wildfire to be comfortable. She was a sick one, or she was gonna be. So instead, I started walking towards the ramp that led to the second level. I remembered the way, and I ran up that way being chased by my brother earlier that day. It seemed so long ago. Like it happened to another pony. To a younger one. I reached the top of the stairs. There were so many stairs in Mayorfort, and it wore me down. And it took a long time. As I walked, ponies spoke to me. Noises in the back of my head. I couldn't hear them, not their words. So I didn't acknowledge them. Instead, I kept carrying Wildfire up and up. To where her home was. At the highest point in the mess that was Mayorfort. By the time I reached the top, I heard snoring. Wildfire, she was asleep on my back. She cried herself to sleep.
That seemed nice.
Is she gonna wake up?
I don't know. Give it time.
I opened the door to her house and realized I'd never been there before. It was really small, much smaller than my house. There was only a single room with a table in the center and two beds on either side of it. There was no way of knowing which bed was hers, so I walked her to the closest and placed her on it as gently as I could. I was dumb, but strong. Every pony in Mareford agreed on that. When she was safely on the bed, I pulled the blanket up and tucked her in tight, like Mama used to do to me. That would stop her from getting sick. I was sure of it. When that was done, I didn't know what to do. I had to go search for Mama, but I didn't want to leave Wildfire. She might have been sick, very sick. She was outside in the rain for so long, so Mama could wait. She'd still be there. I would look the next day. There was a free bed, so I walked towards it. Silver, Wildfire said groggily. I must have woken her up. If everything wasn't so numb, I might have felt bad. Your cutie mark. But I didn't have a cutie mark. I was a late bloomer, Mama always said. When I looked at my flank to confirm, I was wrong. My cutie mark was there. Three brown rocks. That meant something, though I wasn't sure what. It was too hard to think. Instead, I fell into the second bed and went to sleep. I could figure out what my cutie mark meant after I found Mama. She would know. She knew everything. And she would always be there for me. Always. I woke up to the sound of my pit buck clicking. My eyes opened and the dream faded. My cutie mark. Three brown rocks. I never did figure out what it meant. Any more than I found my dead mother.
You're awake?
A muffled voice asked. I froze when I looked up. A bug with glowing eyes. A scorpion queen. It was talking to me. It was just a mask. My mind figured it out slowly. A helmet. Armor. Enclave armor. I knew it. The Enclave had found me.
Calm down.
Now the Enclave was telling me to calm down. I didn't feel calm. I felt sore and groggy and alive. I was alive. Ugh, how was I alive? My eyes looked around the room. The corpse of the giant scorpion was lying in front of the door with a blown-out wall beside it, and more scorpions. Three small ones littered the nearby room. What had happened? How much had I missed? My eye fell to my leg, my back one, to see what was left. To my surprise, there were robotics there. Not very complex robotics, but since my leg was cut below the hawk, they didn't need to be. Serenity must have done that, and...
What happened?
My voice was a whisper, and even that was painful.
You?
The Enclave said to me.
Almost died. Seems to happen a lot to you. You're lucky a daughter here.
Serenity. I looked around and found her hugging me in her sleep. She looked, almost peaceful.
It's so damn amazing. She managed to stop your blood loss and make a quick replacement leg. I'm sure Haas will get you a new one.
My daughter. She was amazing. So amazing. I need to give her candy. So much candy.
Oh, Flyer?
The very same.
The Enclave Pegasus nodded.
What? How did you find me? Why are you wearing that?
Why did it hurt so much?
Pitbuck tags. It made you easy to locate. Hard to find. As for the armor?
He sighed.
It blocks radiation, and there's a lot to block. As soon as you're ready, we're heading back to Dais. Mr. House will want to see you, and you want to see what happened.
Back to Dais to see the fallout of my mistakes. I didn't want to see that, but it was something I had to face. Level up. Skill note, guns, 100. New perk, Monster Hunter. Hunting down giant creatures takes a certain type of bony. You gain plus 10% against all mutated wildlife and plus 24% poison resistance. As if you weren't completely immune already.